Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our Twizzler Tuesday show. We're collecting your gifts that emote how you feel about the NBA right now. And this in the wake of the latest news that Boogie Cousins will take a one-year, $5.3 million deal to join the other All-Stars in Golden State. So five All-Stars once he gets healthy. From the previous season, five All-Stars. No team has had a collection of five All-Stars since the 75-76 Celtics. So it's been a while. The Warriors continue to think outside the box. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, which is blowing up with your favorite gifts. We've even had an appearance of some crazy dancing Warriors fans, so check it out. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I don't remember the last time we had a guest on the show to talk about Mariners baseball.
And the lefty's pitch on the way. Gordon with a swing and a soft looper into shallow left field. That's going to drop in a base hit. Here comes Heredia on to score. Mariners lead 2-1.
Rick Riz, love his calls on the Seattle Mariners radio network. And there's a lot of excitement right now about the second place team in the AL West. We are going to talk about the Mariners. Excited to welcome Mike Ferrari, my longtime friend, colleague at KOMO-TV, the sports director at Channel 4 in Seattle. He's been a guest on the show many times, but not very often to talk about the Mariners. Mike, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Before we get to Seattle's baseball team, let's talk about the more recent news from the Seahawks. Cam Chancellor putting out a series of tweets over the weekend hinting that his football career, his football life may be coming to an end. What's been the reaction there in Seattle?
Well, I think the reaction has been, you know, this was a one-of-a-kind player. He was a game changer, and everything he did for the Seattle Seahawks organization was a positive. I mean, other than that short holdout he had, missed two games, if you want to call that the blemish on his time in Seattle, then you can go ahead. But he'll be in the Ring of Honor because he really led that team to the first Super Bowl win. He set the tone in that game against the Broncos, one of the best offenses of all time in that Super Bowl in New York City. Mm-hmm. And he was just a phenomenal player and just a great human being, too. He was always that guy that was really quiet, almost borderline shy when you would see him out and about. And when he put the helmet on, he was a completely different beast, you know, and it was awesome to watch him play and how he affected the game beyond just his position and beyond just being one of those guys out there in the defense. He made everybody better around him because he was that force that other teams had to contend with. They knew he was out there. You would see grown men catch a ball, and I forgot who it was in the game, but he caught a ball, and he heard the footsteps, and he just went to the ground. He just knew what was coming. The thunder was coming, and and he sat down. So that intimidating factor, people adored the guy. He's one of those guys, I think, that people will continue to wear his jersey even though he won't be on the field.
Which is a huge tribute. His series of tweets that he released, Mike, there was a PS, and it was about he has no clue what way the head injuries that he's had during the game might affect him down the road. And I thought that was telling because there are more and more players across the board in sports who are hearing the stories of former athletes and are realizing that could be me. You know, the long-term challenges in with their health, with head trauma. And, you know, at the very worst, you've got guys who are suffering from depression, anxiety, and even taking their own lives because of the head injuries during their, you know, their career as a professional athlete. That to me was telling. When you read that, what did you think?
I thought the same thing. I think the immediate thing I thought was, you know, he delivered all these hard hits, but he was also part of them. And so that rocked his body. And I think that, you know, the injury when his last play was a very you know, it was a short 5-yard run against the Cardinals, and he made a tackle, and that was it. But the years of hard hits just basically took its toll on his neck area and in his back. And, you know, the brain is obviously a component that moves around during the game on impact. We've all realized that. We've all read everything there is. And that's a great unknown for all these players because they just don't know 20 years down the road how that's gonna be. I mean, I think he's to the point physically that he says, I want to be able to move. I want to be able to do things beyond football. So this is, you know, an injury that I do not want to have occur because they told him if you play again, you could risk paralysis. But also, that's the unknown. So he's kind of he can control one thing, but you can't control the other, and you just got hope for all these guys. That's why when I see a guy in football sign a big deal and get a lot of money, good for them. Mm. You know, they're putting their lives and their livelihood and physical ability on the line for a sport that they love, and for whatever reason they want to play, whether it be baseball or basketball. That's their passion. But, you know, the careers are just not very long. I mean, I feel like it was yesterday. We were at the Super Bowl watching the Broncos and Cam Chancellor dominate a game. I mean, it just seems like it was a couple of days ago, and he's done. So it's a terrible thing as far as the injuries go and the brain injuries. But I think so many of these guys that play, you know, it's out there, right? It's that dangling thing that they all know they may have to deal with or may not. It's just the way things go.
Mike Ferrari is a longtime sports director in Seattle at KOMO-TV with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What is left of the Legion of Boom?
Wow, not much, except maybe the tradition of having good defensive backs with a certain way they play under Pete Carroll. That's basically, you know, how he came up through the ranks as a defensive back coach and really having their style of play. So without him, I mean, you hope you have Earl Thomas, but that's a whole nother bag of worms, so to speak, because of the contract and will he be there. Those two players are so smart, Amy. I mean, the way they would impact the game and, like I said, make everybody better around them, and that's in the back of a quarterback's mind. I got to deal with those two guys. I got to send my receiver over the middle. How do I know Earl Thomas isn't going to come flying out of anywhere and knock one of my guys over, come up with a pick six, and that's it? And I getting ready, thinking about what we were going to be talking about tonight, I was at that game in New England when Earl Thomas ended Gronkowski's season. Right. Like, if you ever stand next to Earl Thomas, he's a small dude.
Gronk is not.
A giant.
Yeah.
Yes. And how he hit him that hard. It's just, he is a human missile. And he's just such a good player. So I think, you know, if Earl comes back, he can teach. It could trickle down a little bit. Bradley McDougal's a very good safety. I would venture to say he was a little better in pass coverage than Cam Chancellor was, though Cam really improved that part of his game. You know, Shaq Griffin is a great player who has gotten better and better. And they've drafted some guys that they hope will come through. But, you know, there was one time we had a playoff game in Chicago, I think it was 2012 maybe, where Lawyer Malloy was in his final season, and Cam Chancellor was just sitting there watching on the sidelines, maybe special teamer. So, you know, they have guys like Mike Tyson and younger guys that are going to come up through the ranks that they obviously can spot. You're never going to have the uniqueness of those guys. I mean, that was the LOB. That was the crew. And it was so fun to watch. But I think, if anything, they established a tradition of strong defensive back play that they hope can carry on. And maybe it's just one guy each time. So if you have Shaq Griffin that plays with Earl Thomas, he can carry it on, and so on and so forth.
It's been anything but quiet for the Seattle Mariners, finally, and they're off on Monday night, but they've won 7 consecutive games, 8 of their last 10. Mm-hmm. They've got 54 wins now, which ties them for third most with the Yankees in all of Major League Baseball. They've been a lot of fun to watch. What's behind this incredible first half?
And 23 games above 500.
Yeah.
And it gives me, we have always talked about football, college or pro. I can't really recall us ever talking about the Mariners. And it makes me so happy to talk about them because it's been so much fun to watch. I was here for the 116 win season in 2001, and that place was electric when they would play, and they just kept winning and winning. And this is a team that kind of gives you that feel. And so, you know, there's a certain approach. Scott Servais has really showed that he makes some questionable calls sometimes with pitchers, but he has shown definitely that he can get guys to buy in to each other. They need to believe in each other. play for one another. And they've done just that. And I think they showed that when Robbie Cano was broke his hand slash was suspended. You would think that maybe there would be a massive dip. But I will say this. The big reason in the first half and why, two words, D. Gordon. He has been, in my opinion, the greatest offseason free agent offseason acquisition by the Seattle Mariners in their history.
Wow. History.
What he has done to this team, for a team that's been in the doldrums for so long, I mean, he gets on base. He adds a distraction element for opposing pitchers. He scores. When guys hit home runs, it's fantastic. He gets up out of the dugout, high fives all his teammates. He's on the field side. His teammates on the bar or the fence side of the dugout. Mm-hmm. High fives them all. Goes down in the row. They get ready for it. I mean, he has made baseball fun again in Seattle, and they all have gotten on. And really, the trade with Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura that Jerry Dipoto did, sending Taijuan Walker to Arizona, and Ketel Marte, I believe, the shortstop. Seriously, that was one of the best trades in the history of the Mariner organization. You know, it certainly isn't going to be, you know, certain players, Jason Veritek and Derek Lowe for Heathcliff Slocum. It's not going to be that one. We know that. But really, it's been so much fun. That, in a nutshell, is what it's been like for this season in the first half. And you got Eddie Diaz, who's a great closer, and you got guys who fill the gaps every single night. So whether it be a great pitching performance from James Paxton, big night at the plate from Segura, or, you know, Haniger chipping in, it doesn't matter. Kyle Seager, you know, he's getting hot. So it's just been an absolute pleasure to watch this team, cover this team, and we were down with them in spring training, and they all were talking like, hey, there's no reason we shouldn't be good, and they're right.
You mentioned Eddie Diaz. He leads the majors in saves with 32 already, which is 7 more than Craig Kimbrell of the Boston Red Sox. So Mike Ferrari's with us from Seattle, Channel 4 KOMO-TV sports director. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you mentioned the fact that, you know, the suspension kind of happened and then the team takes off. He wouldn't be eligible for postseason.
Right.
So how does the team handle that when he returns?
Well, it's interesting. One thing, though, about Diaz before I go, before I talk about the Cano thing, is Scott Servais said that he would get a haircut like Eddie Diaz if Eddie got to 50 saves.
Whoa!
That's going to happen.
Yes,
that's
going to
happen. And if you know Scott Servais' daughter, Jackie Servais, who's just a wonderful kid. She graduated from Ole Miss in sports management. She now works with the Champions Tour doing media. But she said today that her dad had made a lot of bets that he didn't come through on, but he's going to have to come through on this one. And Eddie's got some serious fun hair going on. So keep track of that as we
okay.
are 18 away. But as far as the Cano component, you know, Jerry Dipoto and Scott Servais said they're not going to ask D. Gordon, who spent a lot of time in spring training, learning the nuances of playing center field, which he was becoming pretty good at, to come in at second base. Oh, hey, Robinson Cano's back. Go back to center field, D. Gordon, and to be on the run they have.
Right.
And then once the postseason begins, you know, if they stay on that track, oh, D. Gordon, you got to play second base again. They're not going to do that. I think if you see anything, Ryan Healy has been at times inconsistent at the plate, though he's been very good. And I think Ryan Healy is one of the most underrated defensive first basemen in all of baseball. The guy is really good. He could end up platooning with Cano. And one possibility, have Cano play first base. Now, you know, he broke the hand, so it's going to be – he's going to have to come back. He's always going to come back mid-August, but I imagine he does some time at AAA and really, you know, can start making a bat with the impact if this race gets, you know, kind of heated with the Astros for that last month. I think he could definitely make an impact. He's around the team, Cano. He's rehabbing at Safeco. He sees them. He's not with them, obviously, when they play or do any of their stuff on the field. But, you know, he is around the team. So they all love Robbie Cano. Robbie's a great guy. He's a great guy in this community here. And I think, you know, to have him back will be a plus. But I don't think it's going to be to have him back at second base. And if anything, you give him, you know, some turns and give D. Gordon a rest. But D. Gordon is phenomenal. Like
right.
I said, D. Gordon for president. I can run the campaign if you haven't noticed.
So I just have to tell you, on my show, I have talked about this more than once, how I'm pulling for the Mariners because I just want to see Felix pitch in the playoffs. Finally.
Me too.
I mean, he's nearly 15 years into his career, and we haven't seen it yet. We need to see it.
We do. And he has shown, even in some of these games, the ability to take it to another level. The thing that he needs to stop doing, and Mel Stottlemyre has talked about this, is you might see him perform pitch to contact a little bit more on the road. Is they have started a wonderful thing here called the King's Court. And they sit down by the left field line, the foul pole, or third base bleeds into left field. And they wear yellow shirts, and they have K's, and they have the K corner. And he, anytime he gets two strikes, the chants chant, K, 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 K. So I think he's in his mind. He's like, I got to try and strike this guy out. Whereas when you look at what he has in the field behind him, just pitch to contact. Do what you do. You're not exactly the same guy that you were 10 years ago. Let the guys behind you do their work and get out of it. So that's the one thing. If he could just maybe wear earplugs sometimes, because it's a great concept. They don't want it to go away. I don't want it to go away. They do a thing with a big turkey leg and all sorts of stuff. Just maybe pitch the contact a little more at home, and he can get there. But, you know, on that, because I'm like, well, what if they go to a one-game playoff? I mean, who would they be? Maybe Paxton. What if that would be it? But, you know, right now they're half game out. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about saying there, go for the division.
There you go.
What do they have to lose? Right? I mean, half game out chasing the Astros, they're doing just as good as they are. So, and they really, going into the All-Star break, what they have left are the Angels, the Rockies, then at the Angels and at the Rockies. And both those teams have been having struggles. So they could easily come away. I think they can go 9-0 in this homestand. I'm not kidding. Just with the way the Angels and Rockies are going and the way the rotation lines up.
It is a potential for a heady summer for Mariners fans, and it's been quite a while now. So you want to follow Mike on Twitter at Mike, KOMO Sports from Seattle, the sports director at KOMO TV. It's always good to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Amy, I love it. Great to hear from you, and keep doing the wonderful things you're doing, and have a great trip to Cuba.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Yeah, just over 2.5 weeks away. It's stressing me out a little bit, so I'm not going to think about it. But good to talk about some positive Seattle Mariners trends. Half game out in the AL West. Beware, World Series champs. It should be a fantastic summer stretch with the four teams that are setting the pace in the American League. All right, coming up next, your choice for hashtag MCM, Man Crush Monday. It was a landslide. If you didn't vote in the poll, just trust me, it was overwhelming for one candidate. And the best story that you will hear this week. It is guaranteed to make you smile. A miracle, I tell you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
No pressure on me. I mean, I'm gonna do my job. I've always done that. Look, I've been playing in, you know how many finals I've been in? So you think I'm worried about this? I played against Larry Bird in the finals. I mean, come on, man. I've been in 9 finals, you know. I've been in college NCAA championship, you know. I'm Magic Johnson. I'm still the same dude. I'm not going to change. There's no pressure on me. I'm going to do my job. That's what I do. I do my job.
There is so much to like about Magic Johnson in that 20 seconds. Come on, man. You know how many finals I've been in? The same as LeBron James, incidentally, in case you're wondering. I played against Larry Bird, NCAA championship. But my favorite second, half second, might be the giggle. Well, it's a man, so it's a chortle, a guffaw. I giggle. Actually, I don't giggle. I'm not really that girly giggle type. Oh, my gosh. He has already landed the biggest fish available in the free agent market. Plus, he's pulled in Lance Stephenson to be LeBron's BFF. And JaVale McGee, who's got back-to-back championship rings. Rajon Rondo to work with Lonzo Ball. Now, they did have to let Julius Randle go because he was coming off a career year and he was going to command more money than, say, a JaVale McGee. I don't know, though. Maybe I'd be giving him higher marks if he had landed Boogie Cousins. Not that he needed to, because JaVale McGee is filling that spot. But, man, if he could get Boogie Cousins for $5 million, I don't know exactly what the league minimum will be this year. It changes every year. But when you think about what Magic has done, getting upstaged by what the Warriors just did with this one move. Yeah, it's just the state of the NBA right now. But he's given himself 2 years, though. Your Man Crush Monday, your choice for Man Crush Monday in a landslide. He's given himself 2 years to get the Lakers into a playoff spot again, but also to be contenders. Raise the bar high. What's that? Shoot, I'll think of, there's a phrase about raising the bar and when you... Now, you know what? I suck at cliches, so if I try to remember it off the top of my head without looking it up, I will completely butcher it, so I won't. Instead, I'm going to move on to the feel-good story of the week. And this is a true story, what makes it even better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for finding me on Twitter with your NBA gifts, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. You're having entirely too much fun with these gifts, but you're making me laugh. Did you guys hear about the soccer team in Thailand that climbed back into these caves that I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you can kind of climb into these caves and they're almost like caverns and they go, you know, miles and miles back, although in Thailand it's kilometers. They go kilometers and kilometers back and you can crawl under and you can swim. And in some places there might be daylight, but in most places you're talking about having flashlights and it's this way that you can spelunk, but down in the water. I've done it in Cuba. I've done it in Ecuador. It's something that's unique to this particular area of Thailand where there is this extensive series of caves. The problem is that if you go too far back into this cave, this whole network and complex, it's like a maze of caves. If you go back too far in during the rainy season, your exit floods. And so you can be up inside a cave, you could be dry, but your entry, which is supposed to be your exit, has flooded and you can't get back out. And it's obviously impossible for a group of soccer kids, we're talking about kids ages 11 to 16 with their coach, 25 years old, impossible for these kids who have no scuba diving experience and no scuba diving equipment to try to figure out in the darkness and in flooded entryways and flooded passageways to be able to get out on their own. So instead, the idea was, the search had been going on for 10 days. The idea was that hopefully they had found some place that was above the rising water. They'd found some level or some flat space in a cave that was above the floodwaters. And in Thailand, they'd had multiple nations sending their version of the Navy SEALs, special ops and rescue teams to search for this team of 12 little boys, 11 to 16, and their head coach, who just got too deep into this maze of caves. Well, after 10 days trapped in a flooded complex, and after this humongous search effort, they're finally been found. And all of them are alive. All 13 of them are alive. These are we're talking little boys, an 11-year-old, for heaven's sakes. They haven't been able to get them out yet, but they've at least gotten food and water and some medical supplies into them. So what the boys were most concerned about was eating. As you can imagine, you're talking about, you know, growing boys and they haven't had food in 10 days, but they're alive. So this incredible search and rescue operation results in a miracle. They decided they'd go swimming inside this cave complex. They got too far back in. They were hot after a soccer practice and they wanted some refreshing exercise. They ignored the sign outside the cave that says in rainy months, starting in July, it's unsafe to go inside. However, it did not turn out to be a fatal mistake. Now, what they have to do is get this team out of the flooded caves because they're weak. As you can imagine, they haven't had food for 10 days. They have no scuba training. You can think about how terrified they must be, wondering if they were going to starve in there, not knowing if anyone's looking for them, hoping, but how do you know? You have no idea if someone's actually searching for you, if they've given up and called off the rescue operation. So think about how scared you would be in the pitch black with water all around you. But they found them, and they're all alive, and now crews are working to get them out. Amazing. I mean, think about if you're a family member of one of these little boys or the coach, and you just found out that they're alive. They're in there, and you got to get them out, but they're alive. That kind of news, that kind of story, true story, just it fills my heart with joy, and it reminds me that it's not all bad in this world where a lot of times we tend to focus more on the negative than we do on the positive. So yay, that's awesome. All right, coming up next, let's see, what do we have? We have our player of the week. We've got some nerd alerts from Major League Baseball. We'll get back to your NBA gifts and all of you emoting about how terrible the league is right now. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And the 0-2 swing. There's a drive to left center field. That goes Soto. It's over his head. It's going to the wall. It'll clear the bases. Three-run score. Bradley following Holden Moreland home. A three-run double by Rick Porcello. Can you believe it?
We want to put the ball in play, get a hit, score some runs because it's Max Scherzer. And, you know, not a lot of runs are scored off him, but there's only so much you can do. And then I got lucky, you know, and got that hit. But if you don't hit for an entire year, you don't even know what it's going to look like once you step in there.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our player of the week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. And this week, he's unique. Rick Porcello gets his first career extra base hit. You hear the call with Joe Castiglione on the Red Sox radio network. How about that? A three-run double for the Red Sox against the Nationals. And the pitcher was Max Scherzer. Oh, my gosh. If you're going to get your first career extra base hit, might as well be against one of the best in the game. And the guy who's won, I don't know, the last five Cy Young Awards, it feels like. Congratulations to Rick. But not just that. Even better when there's some incentive. Do you know they walked Jackie Bradley Jr. intentionally to get to Porcello, who, if I'm not mistaken, didn't even have 40 career at-bats before smoking that double off Scherzer. And in addition, Porcello also picked up his 10th win of the season, a scattering 7 hits and 2 runs over 6 innings pitched. He also struck out 5. Now, he did give up 2 home runs himself, one of those coming to Anthony Rendon, another to Daniel Murphy, but they were solo shots. And so the Nationals get close, but Porcello and company, the bullpen for the Red Sox, able to hold them off and win 4-3. So congrats to Porcello. I wonder what he appreciates more, the 10th win or the first career extra base hit? Off Max Scherzer. That's cool. The player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. That's Grainger for the ones who get it done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now a Tuesday morning for most of you who are listening, though we do still have some stragglers in Hawaii. There are incredible first half stories in Major League Baseball. And not that they're all in the American League, but I continue to marvel. I'm amazed at what's going on with the four teams that I talk about a lot. And that is the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, the Mariners. As it stands going into Tuesday, these four teams are the only four teams in baseball with at least 50 wins. After their victory last night, the Sox have 57 wins. So they're back in front of the Yankees atop the AL East, with the best winning percentage in baseball. The Mariners, who we just talked about earlier this hour with Mike Ferrari in Seattle, were idle on Monday night, but they've got 54 wins, same as the Yankees. And then the Astros are sandwiched in between the World Series champs with 55 wins, but just a half-game lead in the AL West. I don't like to get too far ahead, but the idea that these four teams are on such a torrid pace, and now it's gone over the length of this first half. We're not quite to the All-Star break, but we are past the midway point in the regular season. Could you imagine two of these teams having to face each other? Let's just say they stay on this pace or something relatively close, having to face each other in a wild card game. And how important it is, how much of a premium they're putting on winning the division. Even now, in early July, as we go into the dog days, you cannot let your foot off the gas even a second. I don't actually know the answer to this question, but it's probably a pretty cool nerd alert. How many times the lead in the AL East has changed hands so far this season? We're only halfway through, and the Yankees and the Red Sox have established this as one of the best races in baseball.
Boston's like the Golden State Warriors now.
And so I just feel like it's fun to pay attention to, even though it's early July. And in case you're wondering, they are scoreboard watching. I like to listen to Red Sox, Yankees, Mariners, Astros, Dodgers, you know, whatever. I listened to the Braves broadcast for a while on Monday night because I enjoy play-by-play on radio. It's my soundtrack of summer in Major League Baseball. I enjoy taking the radio around the house with me. You know, I have Sirius XM, so I can flip to different games. They provide both the home and away for every game that's taking place every single night. Oh, and we're on channel 206 in case you haven't bookmarked it yet. But I enjoy the pace of it. And there are so many really good announcers in Major League Baseball. And so it's fun to hear the local flavor. And their scoreboard watching, let me just tell you, as I was listening to the Yankees broadcast for a bit and then the Red Sox broadcast for a bit, they were both giving constant updates. I mean, constant updates.
All right.
On the other team. So, for instance, the Red Sox had Craig Kimbrel on the mound for a four-out save. Oh, by the way, fantastic at-bat by Juan Soto against Craig Kimbrel. So this was in the ninth inning between the Nats and the Red Sox. And as you know, Soto is 19 years old. He's a phenom, but he's seeing everything for the first time. So he has his first ever at-bat against Craig Kimbrel, one of the best closers in the game. And he gets down 0-2 and nearly has a called third strike. It was a bit of a stretch, but I don't know. I kind of thought maybe that Kimbrel would get the call in that case. He did not. And you could see the 19-year-old gauge Kimbrel, watch, learn, stay patient. He actually worked a walk. He had multiple pitches on a 3-2 count and worked a walk. So I thought it was fascinating to watch him grow up a little bit in just that one at bat.
I wanted it to be something I never forgot.
Because there he was paying attention and thinking about it as a 19-year-old. Anyway, so even as the Red Sox were trying to close out the Nationals, Joe Castiglione, who was calling that ninth inning, was giving every at-bat updates from the Yankees-Braves game, which went into extra innings. And so he's actually doing play-by-play for two games. But the Red Sox were off the air and were done with the Nationals before this happened between the Yankees and the Braves.
Looking at a 1-2 count. Hit high in the air to right field. This one drifting back. This one at the wall. Judge is there. Leaps into the air. And he could not bring it back. That's a home run by Ronald Acuna. Bombs away here in the Bronx. And the Braves lead it 5-3.
So, Ronald Acuna comes up with a huge home run. Jim Powell on the Braves Radio Network in the 11th inning. And then after a real good battle between those two, the Braves end up getting that victory, their fourth in a row. What did we talk about not that long ago? And we had the conversation with Jason Stark of MLB Network, who's a longtime baseball writer, that the Braves are the surprise of the first half in Major League Baseball, and they still have that lead in the NL East. In fact, it's a 3.5 game lead on the Phillies now. How crazy is that? It's the Phillies who are in second place, not the Nationals. Oh my gosh, they made a managerial change in the offseason because they thought it was Dusty Baker's fault. Whatever.
Come on, Philly. Come on.
This franchise has underachieved for now a good stretch. I don't think they've lived up to their expectations. I know they have a lot of injuries, but they've won two of their last 10. So when the heat gets turned up on the Nationals, they tend to wilt. We've seen that over and over and over now. It's a pattern. It's a trend for that team in D.C. But at least they have the Capitals.
Yeah. People can kiss my
So anyway, the Braves are a great story in Major League Baseball, too. And there are other teams that have set themselves up to make a second half run. Now, that's the great thing about baseball is it 162 games, which means it's not all that rare for a team to come from 8 or 9 games back in a division and win that division title and make the playoffs. We saw it multiple times the year that the Mets went to the World Series. If I'm not mistaken, they were 9 games back in the NL East. They were 9 games behind the Nationals that year. Before a second half surge, probably not going to happen with the Mets this year, but it could happen with another team. The Cubs have put together now 4 wins in a row, but they've been hot and cold. Their pitching is, the Yu Darvish situation is a disaster, but their pitching hasn't been nearly as good. The Diamondbacks have been up and they've been down and they've been up and they've been down. They've lost their last 4 in a row. So the Dodgers have pulled within a game and a half again. And I know you're waiting for a nerd alert. This is a little bit kooky, even for sports, even for Major League Baseball, where, you know, I always tell you to expect the unexpected. The Dodgers shellacked the Pirates 17-1. 17-1 in just one game. This wasn't a doubleheader. 17-1 on Monday. Do you know the Dodgers became the first team since 2011 to bat around in 3 consecutive innings?
Nerd alert.
I mean, some of those old guys are probably tired. They batted around the poor pitcher. They batted around in 3 consecutive innings.
Matt Kemp.
Where was the mercy rule for the Pittsburgh Pirates? Anyway, that is the kind of stuff you'll get on a night in and night out basis. One day you're up, one day you're down. So right now the Diamondbacks are down and the Dodgers are up. Buy low, sell high. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, you know what? It was a really, really big night for Francisco Lindor.
Now Junis is ready. The 3-1 pitch. Swung on, driven high and deep to right. Grand slam, Lindor! Francisco Lindor goes deep with the sacks jammed, and the Indians lead it 6-2.
That was just the first of the Lindor highlights. He also had a 3-run home run. So 2 jacks and 7 RBI. Don't count out the Cleveland Indians. I heard from a lot of Cleveland sports fans on Monday, so Sunday night into Monday, after LeBron announced that he was going to Los Angeles. And many of you Cleveland sports fans are saying, fine, we don't care. Now we can focus on the Indians. As if it's possible or if it's impossible to root for 2 teams at the same time. I mean, who wants 2 teams that are doing well at the same time? Pshaw. All right, we've got 1 hour left. Cruising through a Tuesday morning After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.